Thursday evening, it is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. I have you for the next 2 hours, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. My, oh my, this is about as packed of a show as I have ever done. I'm coming up on my three-year anniversary here on KMOX. I don't know if I've ever done a sports open line outside of some like special nights where maybe we've honored somebody who has passed away and we've filled up every single segment with a guest, just kind of a standard show. I don't know if I've ever done what we are doing today, and that is we're talking with a whole lot of folks. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of these conversations you're going to hear tonight, pre-recorded them because it was folks that were visiting St. Louis and visiting Busch Stadium over the last few days, and we were waiting to get to our next sports open line to be able to play them. To put in perspective, we didn't even get everything in that we recorded. We're going to have to wait to our next sports open line to get a couple more in. Like, I got a chance to talk with figure skating legend Brian Boitano. We're going to have that next week sometime. Missouri women's basketball coach Kelly Harper was in town. We're going to air that interview next week. But this is what we've got coming up tonight. Former Cardinals manager Tony La Russa. My conversation with him comes up in about 10 minutes. Later on this hour, we will talk with MLS season pass broadcaster Warren Barton. He's going to be on the call for a city this upcoming weekend. So we'll look ahead and also look back at their matchup last week. And then next hour, just absolutely jam-packed, we're going to start the hour with another Apple broadcaster, Wayne Randazzo, who is locally does work with the Angels but does a lot of national stuff for Apple. He's going to be on the call tomorrow for the Cardinals-Cleveland game. He's going to join us live at 7:05, and then we're going to jump back into folks that we got to talk to at Busch Stadium this week. Former Blues defenseman Barrett Jackman is going to join us at 7:20. NASCAR driver, superstar NASCAR driver, Kyle Larson. He's going to join us at 7:35. And then at about 7:50, we're going to talk with Illini football lineman. He is a product of East St. Louis High School. Brandon Henderson is going to join us. Got the chance to chat with him, and that was a really fun conversation. So we have an absolutely jam-packed show. Of course, we'll talk a fair amount about the Cardinals and Cubs when we do have time. We just wrapped up the Redbird Rush Hour, where we did a lot of that. It's funny because if the Cardinals would have lost the first two games of this series and then come back with wins in the last two, it's a split of a four-game series. But from an emotional standpoint, it feels better than if you win the first two and lose the final two. Because when you win the first two, all of a sudden, you're just, hey, just split the next two games and you're in a great spot to be able to take the series. Unfortunately for the Cardinals, they were unable to do so today. They did not have an answer for Shota Imanaga, and they did not have an answer for the Cubs' bullpen today as they get shut out again. And I think two things are going on here. First off, this Cardinals team, it's a relatively young group. We have seen a very, it's been a roller coaster-y type season, a roller coaster nature of this season. It's an all or nothing. It gets frustrating at times because like the overall and aggregate numbers look pretty good offensively, but they will sit there and you'll see good stuff sometimes. You'll see not so good stuff at other times. So that's been one of the challenging things about this team is the fact that they can be all for nothing. I would also say that's not just a Cardinals thing. That exists across Major League Baseball. There are a lot of baseball teams that seemingly can score a ton of runs one night and then get shut out the next night. I think part of that is just the nature of the game. I think part of that is connected to scouting reports and how you have a very specific approach against certain pitchers. And sometimes that approach works and sometimes that approach doesn't work. So this issue that we're talking about, the roller coaster nature of what's going on, yes, it is true that's happening to the Cardinals. Yes, you would like it to not happen to the Cardinals so much, but I also don't think it is unique to the Cardinals. So that's one part of it. Again, the facing two Cardinals are not as good against lefties as they are against righties, and that is something to take note of. But at the same time, they faced two really good lefties over the last couple days. Matthew Boyd's having a career season, and he's been really consistent. He of the entire series, no disrespect meant to Imanaga, but because Imanaga was coming off the injury list, Boyd was the guy that I was most concerned about in this series. And then to Imanaga's credit, he pitched really well today. He gave up one hit in five innings of work. He looked good, and the Cubs were finally able to unleash their high-leverage group of relief pitchers, and those guys did a good job as well. So you don't love the split of a four-game series. You don't hate the split of a four-game series. You accept it for what it is, and you move forward. And you hope that you can take two out of three from Chicago when you see them at Wrigley Field coming up in about a week or so. And that's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be added on to the fact that we saw a little talking, a little jaw. You know, people were not happy with each other at the end of that game. Wilson Contreras was in the middle of some stuff. So it's going to be fun when these two teams reunite here in Chicago in about a week or so. We are going to take a break. And when we return, it's going to be really cool to be able to share with you a conversation that I had earlier today with former Cardinals manager Tony La Russa. That's up next. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Very happy to be joined now by former Cardinals manager Tony La Russa. He's been in town for the last few days. Has a big event coming up. Tony, it's great to see you. Thank you for taking some time.
I appreciate this chance to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned you've been in town for a few days. You've watched a lot of baseball. How are you able to just sit back and enjoy watching the game?
Yes and no. I didn't enjoy yesterday. We got beat right away early. You know, it's still a competition, and you pull for your team, and that's the thing that overrides everything. But at the same time, I love the game of baseball, so, you know, I have respect if the other side does something well or if the game's being played well by a baseball game. So fact is, though, you know, you do pull for the team, and coming back to St. Louis, like coming home, had some great memories there.
The game has changed over the years. There's been rule changes. Do you like the direction the game is going right now?
Yes, is I like the clock. There's way too much dead time. Yes, I like getting rid of the shifts because that made it, you know, second base and playing short, right field. I have a real problem that fundamental baseball is beautiful baseball. Mm-hmm. And there's way too much talk about exit speed and launch angle and all that stuff, because that kind of demonstrates that unless you're hitting for power, that's not entertaining and that's not part of the game. The fact is that you want to win games, the better the pitching, the smaller the outcome. Just get a base hit to get on base, get a base hit to move them around, get them in. And so I don't like the two things about what gets emphasized, and that is that how many home runs are you hitting? That's not how you're going to win games. If you're a home run hitter and a good hitter, fine. You need to get guys on base playing fundamental baseball. The other one is there's a proper place for the information. It's really important to get all the sources that you have now to prepare. But once the game starts, the percentage is in because it's such a volatile game. I mean, guys are different inning to inning, game to game. So sometimes you empower your team to follow the percentages when the game means that you got to be able to see what's different that day.
For today's player, how tough is it? All this information's being thrown at you. You got to know what's real and what's kind of fool's gold, not real, something you can throw out. How challenging is it to discern between what can actually be impactful and what you should just throw away?
That's really a good question because I think, for example, for hitters, there's a lot of information about, you know, these hit maps, but where the guy throws, how many percentages, how many pitches he throws here or there. Well, when you walk into the plate, you can get kind of confused about what the percent is on the 1-1 pitch or the 2-1 pitch. So what is really important and still remains important that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So you can look at what the information is, but if you can watch a video of a guy throwing, you see what his release point and what his breaking ball does, what his fastball does. That's actually more important than getting information on what the frequency is.
It's interesting. We're talking with former Cardinals manager Tony La Russa. I know you've developed a little bit of a friendship with Oliver Marmol, who's the club manager right now. Can you talk me through that a little bit about how that's developed and what you think of him as a manager?
I didn't know Ollie much coming in, but it's a fraternity. There's only 30 guys do this for a living, So when you have somebody like Ollie that, you know, had a lot of success, I'm not sure how much he understood the value of guys like Wainwright, Albert, and Yadi there as team leaders, because you have to learn that clubhouse leadership is absolutely essential. But I know that, you know, he's had a tough year, and that's sometimes you learn more. But I think that when I've talked to him, he's really on top of things and more important. And this is the number one. Every game is a learning experience, and the way you improve is to concentrate on what you learned.
I have to think, because you had somewhat the same experience. You were so young when you started with the White Sox. In many ways, he's the youngest manager in baseball. Have there been things that you've been able to tell him that maybe you wish somebody would have told you at that point?
No, a lot of the same thing. You know, I knew, first of all, I had a lousy career as a player. My bubblegum card showed that I couldn't teach anything. But I knew that there are lessons to be learned. The worst thing you can do is think you got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of mentors, and I know that Ollie is very close with Albert and Yadi. Well, you don't get better information than that. So I think that he, and, you know, yesterday, you know, we're taping this thing yesterday, he said he wanted to see me because he had something we had talked about a couple of years ago that he's really felt was helpful. So we talked about, well, you know, the most obvious point, which I just mentioned. The game is just played. Learn from it and improve what you're doing as a manager or as a team based on the lessons of that game. So my long-winded answer is that he's got some valuable experience that he's piled up. The club, this is a real challenging year for him because of the stuff with Nolan and whether he'd be around, and they've rebounded well, and they're in the middle of the fight. So, you know, just compete, contend, and emerge in October.
Into the event that's going to be coming up. It's going to be July 16th over at the Stiefel Theater. It is a night to celebrate Cardinals championships. There's going to be going back into the 60s and 80s, going back to your time in the championships that you had. There's going to be a lot of individuals. Joe Buck's going to be hosting, Rick Ankiel, Will Clark, David Eckstein, Jim Edmonds, David Freese, Auer Bosky, Jason Isringhausen, Mike Matheny, Matt Morris, Reggie Sanders, Woody Williams, among the individuals that are going to be there. What can folks expect if they purchase tickets and come to this event?
I appreciate this chance to talk about, because I really think it's a wonderful experience for fans. It's we're connecting the fans to the players in the championships. And it's really, we're going to mention 60s and 80s. It's going to start with Joe Buck mentioning Jack, and Ozzie's going to be there, recreate the home run by the Wizard. But most of it's going to be the championships from 2000, 2002, 2004 to the end. And there's going to be video. There's going to be a lot of conversations by the players giving their experiences. The fans are really going to enjoy that. We have a comedian who's really clean, very funny. We have a tribute to the military to start the second half with Tom Satterly. In fact, we're going to have a lot of military and first responders, our guests. But I think the key is this is for the fans and the players, all of us, to look back at the 2000s. And we're going to honor Daryl Kyle and Walt Jocketty in special tribute. But it's at the Stiefel Theater. And the pricing of the two-thirds of the tickets is either $65 or $40. Mm. It is so, we wanted it to be reasonable so families can come. I know you can go to Ticketmaster right now to buy tickets. There may be another way to find a way to let it know that you're interested. But it's going to be something for the fans to connect with their players and some great memories. And it's a beautiful theater, $65-$40, man. You don't get that entertainment.
You've spent so much of your life, not just in baseball, but in being very charitable, whether it's the work you've done with animals, mentioned there's proceeds going to military foundation. What is it about you, Tony, that you have invested so much of yourself into helping others?
Well, I was raised right by my parents, but more importantly, from a professional side, starting out in Chicago, first Bill Veeck and Jerry Reinsdorf, go to Oakland with Walter Haas and now with the DeWitt family. They're very concerned with don't come into a community and take, give back. And that was a message I heard early on. So pick a cause for my wife, Elaine, Bianca, and Devin. We always thought do stuff for kids, do stuff for animal welfare. So this is, 40-some years of actually of more than 40 years. But the key is each player, pick a cause and find a way to give back to the community so that you have an impact besides what you do on the field.
The event is going to take place July 16th, Stiefel Theater. This is going to be incredible, a night to celebrate Cardinals championships. As Tony said, tickets available, Ticketmaster.com, the Stiefel Theater box office. You can call 925-395-1505. Go to StiefelTheater.com. Tickets start at $40, which is incredible. If you want to spend a little bit more, there's an opportunity for some VIP experiences in this as well. Tony, this has been really a treat to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Great. Thank you. And that 925-395-1505, that's one thing they want information about. What they're going to see, the kind of event, and how to get a ticket that's not going through Ticketmaster, for example. Just leave a message and somebody will call them back.
Very good. That's Tony La Russa. We will take a break, have more in a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Appreciation to Tony La Russa for joining us just a few moments ago. We are jam-packed with a lot of really cool guests on this show tonight, including who we're about to talk to, City SC. They've got a busy week, one of these weeks where they've got a midweek match leading into a weekend match. They fall to Orlando City yesterday by a 4-2 score, and then they're going to get back at it as they take on Houston coming up this weekend. On the call on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, it is Warren Barton. You can follow him on Twitter at Warren Barton 2. That's WarrenBarton, the number 2. He joins us right now. Warren, thanks for taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm very well, my friend. Absolute pleasure. No problem.
What have you seen from City here recently? They make the coaching change. There's been some okay moments, some not so good moments. It felt like yesterday was maybe a little bit of a step back. What have you seen from this club here recently?
Yeah, I think there's been they're trying to be a positive step after, a coach leaving. It's never easy for a group of players. I've had that happen in my career quite a few times when I was at Newcastle. So, for the players' point of view, they just have to get back on and try and win. It was a little bit of a bounce back. You beat San Jose, and then unfortunately you play a good Portland team and draw against Galaxy. And like you said, Orlando, there were some good points, but then I think they showed some signs of, why they had to make a coaching change as well. Defensively, a little bit out of shape, which has never really been the case. Last season, that was their building block, was to have a good defensive unit. And then coming out to Houston, it's going to be a difficult game. The heat is going to be one thing, a factor that comes into it. A lot of games in a short space of time, there's been a bit of a break. But I think there's still work to be done by Coach David. I had the pleasure of speaking to him today. He's very positive. Obviously, come through the club with the ranks, with the youth team, and then coming with MLS Next Pro, and then being given the opportunity. So, for him, it's just to get out there, give the players some positive notes, and just get back to a little bit of basics and understand what made them so good last season.
You mentioned as a player going through a coaching change. How did you feel when that happened? Is it a sense of responsibility that you didn't do what you needed to do as a player to help your coach? Is it a sense of, hey, this guy hasn't been giving us the opportunity to be in the best situation, so hopefully the next guy does? Like, what is the feeling after a coaching change and really for the weeks following it?
No, I think you all take the responsibility you haven't been good enough, because you don't. Manager doesn't get left of his job or sacked or fired unless the team are not doing well. There's been some coaches that haven't been endeared himself to the group of players, so you wasn't sending in flowers and saying sorry that you've gone. It was one of them, well, good, and hopefully someone else comes in. In my career, I had a chance with Ruud Gullit, the famous Ruud Gullit, a world-renowned soccer player that was a coach of our team. Wasn't really great with the players, didn't really get on with the players. He left, and then next, so Bobby Robson walks through the door, and the next, within 2 days, we beat Sheffield Wednesday 8-0. So there was a great response from that, because his man management skill and how he made the group feel as a player. But you do tend to feel responsible, because ultimately it's down to you. But you don't tend to always play for a player. You're playing for, I like to say players are playing for themselves, and they want to get back out there playing. They want to do well. So yes, it's important that the manager, but also it's for the soccer club that you're playing for. You know, that should be, and the fans as well. You know, I was lucky enough to play for Newcastle for nearly 8 years. So my responsibility was to the fans and the football club to make sure that they got the best performance I did. And I was lucky to play over 220-odd games for them. So, you know, you want to go out there, you want to perform for them. But there are moments when a coach leaves and you're sad, and Kevin Keegan was one of them. And then, as I said, there's a couple of other managers that leave and you think, okay, can we move on and get on with the next one? It's just, you're professional and that's what you have to do. You have to get ready again. I'm sure Coach David will get the best out of his players. It's important now for the experienced players, you know, Berkey the keeper and the players, for to make sure the group understand their responsibilities.
Under Olaf Melberg, the team was pretty good defensively, couldn't score, was not overly entertaining in the way they attacked. The attack has improved since the coaching change, but maybe the team has taken a step back defensively. They give up the 4 goals yesterday. Does this team have the personnel where they can find kind of that perfect mix of being able to defend well enough while also being able to go out and score some goals?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, that's the balance that coach has to do. You have to make sure that you want to entertain. And, you know, as I said, last season in particular and beginning of this season, it was a lot more on the defensive side. And you was riding the wave. You know, as I said, last season, everything was, you know, going well. But, yeah, you have to have that balance. I think it's easy to learn to defend. I think it's easy to, and I was a defender myself for 18 years and, you know, 15 of them in the Premier League. So, for as a defender, it's easy to defend because you just know your responsibility. The hardest thing is to score goals. So now you've got the mixture of scoring goals and your striker's back and he's in form and he's scoring some wonderful goals. It's now just to maybe fine-tune and just remind the players of their responsibility, particularly the outside backs that are pushing forward. Don't leave your two centre-backs so isolated. I think that's one area and maybe a holding midfield player. But that's for the coach to try and figure out and work out. But I think defending is an easier thing to solve than it is scoring goals. So I think that's one thing you can do. And particularly away from home. You know, when you go away from home, you're not maybe expected to go forward too much. And you can grind out a result and maybe get a 1-0 or a 2-0. And then that breeds confidence throughout the group.
You mentioned the heat, and it was really, really hot. It is really, really hot right now in St. Louis. They played through that last night. Now they have the quick turnaround, and they're going to play in another hot environment this weekend. Is it tougher to recover, especially on the quick turnaround, when you do have an experience like they had last night of playing in just oppressive heat?
Yeah, I think it is. But, I mean, listen, the players are all looked after now. You know, they have so many, you know, doctors and trainers and people looking after them, and they would have got back to, you know, training, had some fluids, made sure they recharged their batteries, that, you know, they're on the charter plane that's going to bring them out to Houston. It's, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a lot easier than it would have been maybe 10, 15 years ago. But that is the MLS. That's what makes this league so special and so unique, that you have to go in these elements. You're playing in conditions. You've seen now the summer of soccer where you've had the FIFA Club World Cup. You've got the Gold Cup going on. There's so much soccer going on in the US. Now, I'm lucky enough, I've been here 17 years and to see all this soccer going on. But it is part of being a professional. It's the grind that goes with it. You see baseball players do it. You see, obviously, basketball players, not so much obviously in the heat, but the games come thick and fast. It's just what you get paid for. And you have to realise that. You have to make sure you're prepared and get ready to go. You know, I was up in Toronto, jump on a flight, you come down to Houston, you get ready for the next game. And then off you go again. It's part of it. You know, hard work is working 15 hours a day on a construction site, so it's not too bad.
Is it? Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right in what you said. But just talking about the challenge of it, though, because it still isn't easy. When you're going through a season where you're playing one game a week and your body is used to that, and then all of a sudden you get into one of these weeks where you're playing, you know, 3 games in 8 days, does the routine of what you're used to being interrupted, what kind of impact can that have?
Yeah, no, it can. Because players are superstitious. They like routines. They like athletes like to have a routine and where you're playing and once a week. But it is. But I always felt, and as I said, I was lucky enough to do it for a number of years. When I'm working, I'm working. So I wanted to be with a group. You travel together. You eat together. You know, you're prepared together. It's more of a mental thing. And maybe, you know, freshen up one or two of the players. And again, going back to what I said earlier, this is when the senior players need to be strong, need to be vocal, and we need to make sure that the younger group of players, or the players that haven't maybe experienced it, you know, haven't experienced it, what they're going to go through and how they're going to feel. And a lot of it is the mental side of the game and preparing for that. challenge ahead, and you know, you either accept that challenge as an athlete, or unfortunately, you know, you may let the team down. But I'm sure there's the roster is going to be brought into full use. I'm sure some players will get some playing time as well, so that keeps everybody happy. So it's just preparing yourself to go through it and make sure you know what's coming around the corner. But it is difficult, it is hard, and no one said it was ever going to be easy. But you've got to show that mentality and that grit and determination, you know, for the fans, for the club, and for the coach. So you do that. But it is a challenge for the players, particularly the younger ones.
Just a couple more moments with Warren Barton. He's going to be on the call for Apple TV and MLS Season Pass coming up on Saturday as City matches up against Houston. Is there a thing or two that you would like City to really clean up compared to last night that they have to be able to do a little bit more if they want to have success coming up this weekend?
Yeah, don't leave your defensive unit isolated. I think that was a time where they was trying to press. And again, speaking to the coach today, and Orlando are very, very good at transition with the ball. They go from back to front pretty quickly, and they go from left to right pretty quickly as well. So don't leave yourself isolated. Don't get caught ball watching. And obviously, if you have to defend, you defend. And I think that starts with the goalkeeper. He's been excellent since he's come, but he sets the tone. And then going forward. And then when you're in this heat, don't keep chasing the ball. You have to be smart enough. And it happened a little bit against Orlando yesterday. You said about the heat and everything, where you're trying to press, because press is the vogue word at the moment, but you have to press at the right time. And they was getting picked off too many times. And that's what they need to clean up a little bit. When you're going to press together in little packs, and once you get the ball, you can keep it. And when you are going forward, do not leave your teammates so isolated. Have a mindset that if we lose it, we have to get back quickly and have to get our shape. We don't necessarily have to win the ball, but we have to have a defensive shape that they can't break us down so easy.
Warren, we talked so much about just the TV package that is MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. It's all the game broadcast, but it's a lot more than that. For folks who have not yet made the plunge, talk a little bit about what they can get and when they subscribe to the Season Pass subscription.
Well, you can see every game live, and it has it in English and Spanish as well, which is great. And the people are at the stadium doing that. You have the 360 program as well that breaks down game situation with analysts that are played in the MLS and played there. So you have that program as well. You have, obviously, with Messi coming along, you have the All-Stars that's going to be in Austin. So that's another opportunity to see the games and see what's going on. There's unlimited access to all the clubs. And as I said, it gives us the opportunity as ex, you know, players to go around and go to different stadiums. So, you know, it's wall-to-wall MLS soccer, and there's no stone unturned. So we've done a great job with Apple, and we look forward to it. And as we keep saying, it's the summer of soccer. There's soccer everywhere in the US, and next year, 2026, you've got the World Cup coming along. So I'm sure there'll be added package of you'll see players here that will be, you know, stars coming forward in the World Cup in 2026.
Warren Barton will be on the call as City matches up against Houston. That's going to be coming up on Saturday in Houston, a evening game coming up. Warren, thanks so much for the time. We really enjoyed the conversation.
Absolute pleasure. Good luck, my friend.
Very
Thank
good.
You.
That's Warren Barton joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments. We are doubling up on Apple, folks, because Wayne Randazzo, who is going to be on the call for Apple for the Cardinals and the Guardians tomorrow night. Tomorrow is an Apple TV Friday Night Baseball game. So for those of you who don't have access to that, it's a listen to KMOX night for sure. You should be doing that anyways. But Wayne Randazzo will have the TV call for Apple tomorrow. We're going to talk with him in about 20 minutes around 7:05 or so. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one, jumping back into the Cardinals and what happened over the last couple days against the Cubs after they won the first two games of the series. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Added on KMOX, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Next hour is as busy of an hour as we have probably ever had on this program. This is what we have locked in for next hour, 7:05, right out of the 7 o'clock news. Wayne Randazzo is going to join us. He's going to be on the call for tomorrow's game between the Cardinals and the Guardians. Then at 7:20, we're going to talk with former Blues defenseman Barrett Jackman. 7:35, we're going to talk with NASCAR driver Kyle Larson. He was in town this week doing some Goodyear testing over at Worldwide Technology Raceway, and we got the opportunity to chat with him. And then East St. Louis product, Illinois football offensive lineman Brandon Henderson. He's going to finish us off at about 7:50 or so. So it's going to be a really, really busy hour with a bunch of guests, and I hope that you'll stick with us to be able to hear all those. A couple messages that have come in. Kelly sends in a message on the video stream, says, how can the Cardinals go to killing the ball to getting shut out twice in a row? Newt is hurt, I get it, but the rest of them got shut down. Yeah, look, I think you give – it's the cop-out answer, but the true answer all at the same time is – you look across the way and you give some credit to who you're facing off against. I think that's more true today than, well, it was true yesterday with Matthew Boyd, but I don't think the Cardinals played like an especially good game yesterday. I'm not trying to take anything away from Boyd. I was concerned about Boyd, but yesterday was just it was a bad day all the way around. You get those over a course of 162 games. Today, that was Shota Imanaga looking really, really good. And then four relief pitchers coming in and looking almost as good. And the Cardinals didn't come up with the big hit. They multiple times, they were one hit away from really being back in it. Nolan Gorman had the almost home run that would have changed things. And then the way the game finished there in the ninth inning, that's a frustrating moment. If you want to find something frustrating about the game today, I think you do look to that final inning where you get a couple base runners on, you get the tying run up to the plate, and you got some legit dudes who are coming up to the plate at that point in Arenado, Sejacy, and Gorman, and it goes strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. So, and they hadn't really struck out a ton in the game prior to that. Cubs pitchers in the entire game today, 7 strikeouts. So they were at four strikeouts through 8 innings before the ninth inning. So the Cardinals were making contact. They weren't getting hits, but they were making contact. Now you give credit to Plencia as he came in and did his job for sure and got the 3 strikeouts. But this was not a day where just you felt like the Cardinals were striking out right and left. They did in that moment. They had 3 straight strikeouts with a couple runners on where you could have tied the game up with a long one. So it didn't happen for them. They split the series, and now you go move forward and you make sure that you don't lose your momentum that you had prior to these last 2 games. You don't want to lose that just because you lost back-to-back games against the Cubs, because this is another really important road trip that is coming up, and it's another tough road trip where it's a 3-city trip. They just got done with a 3-city trip. I don't know if I can remember a time where the Cardinals went on 2 3-city road trips in a relatively short amount of time. They did the 3-city trip through Washington, Philadelphia, and Kansas City. That was from May 9th to May 18th. And now here they are just a few weeks later, and they're going to do another 3-city trip as they roll through Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Chicago, with some very winnable games coming up. We are going to break for our 7 o'clock news, but don't go anywhere. Wayne Randazzo, he is going to be on the call tomorrow for Apple TV between the Cardinals and the Guardians. We talk with him next here on KMOX. We're here on a Thursday night. Cardinals losing to the Cubs earlier today. They split that 4-game series. They have probably already arrived to Cleveland, where they'll open up a 3-game series against the Guardians tomorrow. Sonny Gray against Luis Ortiz, the pitching matchup tomorrow. We'll have it here on KMOX. If you want to watch it, it is an Apple TV game, and on the call tomorrow it's going to be Wayne Randazzo, and he joins us right now. Wayne, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing all right. Now, you hold a kind of a special place when it comes to St. Louis sports history, because you were on the TV call for the Albert Pujols 700 home run. How often do you think about that call, get asked about that call? Obviously, there's very few people in the history of this business who have been able to call a 700th home run.
Yeah, that is true. And yeah, I think about it a lot. You know, it was something that was really incredibly special to be a part of. I mean, just a wild night with Albert, you know, 2 home runs away. You really didn't think he would do both in one night, but he certainly did. And it, you know, after that first one, it seemed like the second one wasn't going to be too far behind, and it was only just the next at bat. So it was awesome and an unforgettable night, and I'm glad that, you know, I was able to fall into it, really. I mean, it was and the Apple game, and for me that year, a rare one. I didn't even do that many that year. I only did 3 that year. So, yeah, it was it was something that was really magical to meet the moment and hopefully, you know, was able to do the call justice.
When you think about it, I mean, there's just a handful of guys who have ever gotten to 700 home runs, and the number of broadcasts for any game, even if you've got regional TV games, probably four or five broadcasts would be the absolute most. In the history of the game, there's probably less than 40 broadcasters, maybe less than 30 broadcasters who have called a 700th home run. That's one of those few things that is a really, really select group of company that you're in.
Yeah, and they didn't even have TV for the first guy, so... Yeah. You know, it's probably less than that. And it, you know, really just wanted to, serve the moment. Yeah. It really was my thought of it and called the home run as it came, whatever kind of home run it was going to be. It was a fairly majestic home run, you know, wasn't exactly a no doubter, but it was pretty well hit. And, you know, as I have said before, I really just wanted to get 700 in the call, you know, say that number in the call as soon as possible. And it just was kind of the right home run that I could call it within the call and just say, this is 700, you know, this is it. And it was perfect. And what a night at Dodger Stadium and sitting in Vin Scully's booth. And I mean, it's really a remarkable thing.
We're talking with Wayne Randazzo. He's going to be on the call tomorrow, Cardinals Guardians on Apple TV. You have a daily job working with the Angels and everything, and then you come in and do these national games. Is that a challenge moving from the local side to the national side? Obviously, a lot of people do it, but it's a unique side of baseball where you do move from one to the other.
It is, and you know, you don't. It's a little, you know, you have less time to kind of feed into that game because you know, your own other team that you're calling and following and then their opponents as well. And so you try to stay on top of the league as much as you can so that when the teams come around that you're going to call, you're not hyper-focused on them, but you've at least got a lot of knowledge about what's happening around the league on a daily basis that you know generally where all the teams are. So that when you do hop up on one, you know, a game like tomorrow, the Cardinals playing Cleveland, that you have a pretty general idea of where each team is and what's happening with them. And then, you know, you dig a little bit deeper in the day before and the day of and you know, put it all together. But it's not the same as a you know, being on the team call and seeing a team every day. I mean, it's impossible to mimic that.
The loss today and splitting the series against the Cubs, and anytime you split a four-game series, that's okay, but the last 2 days have been a little tough offensively for the Cardinals, that notwithstanding. What have you thought about this club over the last month or so where they have put together one of the better records in all of Major League Baseball?
It's been interesting to watch them because they haven't, you know, people kind of thought last year in the last couple of years they were maybe in, I wouldn't say a rebuilding mode, but at least kind of a retooling mode. And it seemed like they still needed a year with these younger players to kind of put that forward. And it's happened a little bit sooner than maybe they thought. You know, there was some concern, I think, that the talent within the organization was not the same as it used to be. But it seems like they've put it together and they figured it out. And they've been able to win and hit and pitch well with a lot of guys on the roster that aren't extremely well known outside of St. Louis right now. So, you know, it's still the first half or roughly the midway point now, and we'll see how this holds for the summer. But, you know, it has to be exciting for the Cardinals to, you know, to have a team that haven't put a ton of money into having success and boding well for the future.
Yeah, one major league contract in the offseason, that was about $2 million that went to Phil Maton, and outside of that, it's been a lot of other guys. Wayne, a lot of people, though, were kind of given the opportunity to be shopped, and they said no. Sonny Gray, who will start that game tomorrow, Wilson Contreras, they both said they didn't want to be traded. Arenado was okay being traded, but to a very select group of teams, and nothing worked out there. So it is a bunch of younger guys being given an opportunity to take steps forward, but there are some of those key, well-known players that wanted to be here and wanted to be part of this, and right now we are kind of seeing maybe why they wanted to be part of it.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, it's always a good place to play, I think, for players and for guys who have experience and know what it's like in other areas. You know, they come to St. Louis and it's a baseball haven, and they get that opportunity to, you know, spend the summer there and be around a passionate fan base. And I can imagine that a lot of players, you know, want to win for that uniform, and that is, there's a different expectation when you wear the uniform. You know, other franchises that have similar pedigrees talk about that too, that you put a uniform on like that and you accept a certain responsibility with it. So I think that's all part of it. And I think that the Cardinals, you know, even if things don't turn out exactly for this year, the steps are certainly favorable for what it's going to look like moving forward.
Matchup of a couple teams that are struggling offensively. Cardinals haven't scored in the last two games. You look at Cleveland and what they've done over the last month or so. They got shut out today by Toronto, and they have not scored a ton of runs. So maybe a game where things stay low from a scoring standpoint, but also maybe an opportunity for either of these teams to try to break out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Cleveland's always kind of looking for offense and finding ways to score. I mean, they've got one guy that really is incredible offensively in Ramirez, and you know, Kwan gives you good at bats and all that. But the Guardians are always searching for a way to score runs consistently. And the Cardinals, you know, they win the first two against the Cubs, and then unable to take the series. I think as far as trying to catch the Cubs or win the division, you know, that's a good way to go about getting in the postseason. You know, if you're going to leave yourself in a wild card mix, there's not a lot you can control at that point. You know, you just win as many as you can and see where the chips fall, but it's not as controllable a way to get in as winning the division is. So I think there's a big games coming up, especially next week if they go to Wrigley. You know, that'll be important for the Cardinals, and you just want to put themselves in a good position so that they can maybe win a couple games and move up the standings by the end of next weekend.
Wayne Randazzo will be on the call tomorrow. How much do you enjoy? I watch these Apple TV games, and the picture is incredible. The different statistics that are thrown up on the screen are some things that you don't see all the time. It really feels like Apple has been able to put their own spin on baseball broadcasting, and it's a lot of fun watching these broadcasts. I got to think, for you, it's a lot of fun to be part of them.
That's great. You know, and I have a great partner. Dontrell Willis is an incredible, you know, baseball mind and personality. And, you know, he's a guy that everyone seems like every single person we come across every Friday has got some story about the D-Train. So it's fun to work with him. And Heidi Watney's been doing this for a while, and she's really good at it. And our crew's great. And I think that, you know, getting some of these games, you know, we're doing the Cardinals Cubs at Wrigley next week too. So we'll be with the Cardinals in the next 2 weeks, but it's fun to do any sort of national package, but I think how much that this group cares about making this the best one. You know, I think there's a lot of complaints about national TV games every week, you know, whether it's Fox or ESPN, or even Apple, because you do have to pay for the subscription, which rankles fans, and that's understandable. But I do think that there is a certain level of care that we put into the product on a weekly basis that I think is unmatched. And I hope it spells good things for Apple, and I know they want to get, you know, further along within baseball, and you know, I hope it happens. And I think we care about making baseball the number one priority, and making our game that week the number one priority in a way that maybe isn't as normal as some of the other spots.
I would encourage people listening, if you haven't checked it out yet, maybe tomorrow's the day where you go ahead and jump in and check out an Apple TV game, because I really do think they do a fantastic job with their presentation of the game. Wayne Randazzo will be on the call tomorrow. Wayne, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Hopefully we can chat again down the line.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. That is Wayne Randazzo joining us. He was on the call for Albert Pujols' 700th home run on the TV broadcast. Of course, from a radio standpoint, you can always listen to him right here on KMOX. And by the way, one thing that you can do, and I'm not trying to tell you not to listen to Wayne. I really appreciate him being with us. But another thing that Apple does do, which is cool. So if you have like MLB.TV, you can watch all the out-of-market games. And when you watch the out-of-market games, you can choose which audio source you want to listen to. So if you want to go watch a Pittsburgh Pirates game, but you want to hear the Pittsburgh Pirates radio overlaid on top of the TV broadcast, you can do that. Well, locally, because you can't watch Cardinals games on MLB TV because of blackout stuff, that option does not really exist. So what you can do is when these games are on Apple, you can go to your audio options on the Apple and you can choose which audio source you want. So you can listen to Wayne and Dontrell do their call of the game, which is great. But you can also flip over to John and Ricky, and you can get the Cardinal Radio Network radio overlay right on top of the Apple TV broadcast. So it's one of the few ways that you've got the opportunity to get that radio overlay if you want to do. For Cardinals fans who live out of the St. Louis area, they probably do that all the time on the MLB TV app. But if you're inside the Cardinal footprint where you can't stream the games through MLB TV, you don't have that option. I want to build the future with Graybar. Graybar is based in St. Louis, headquartered in St. Louis, and is a great place to work. We are keeping an eye on Quinn Matthews after he had a pretty tough start his last time out with Memphis. And he is somebody who, obviously, the future is very, very, very bright for him, but he has yet to completely master AAA. 1 week after putting together one of his best starts of the year at AAA, where he went five innings and gave up just one hit, no runs, six strikeouts, no walks. He struggled this past week against Durham when he only got four outs, giving up five runs on two hits. He walked six in that game, so certainly keeping an eye on him as we move forward. Speaking of moving forward, we are going to take ourselves a break, and when we return, former Blues defenseman Barrett Jackman is going to join us on the program. Got the chance to talk with him earlier this week. That conversation is on the way next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, continuing to take you through the evening, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. We got the chance on this homestand that just wrapped up today for the Cardinals. Cardinals come up short against the Cubs earlier today, but we got the chance to talk with a lot of really cool people who happen to be at Busch Stadium, and we're going to roll through some of those interviews here coming up over the next little while, and I think you're going to enjoy this hour. And we've already had some great guests on the show, but this hour we're about to hear from former Blue Barrett Jackman. Later on, NASCAR great Kyle Larson, and then we'll finish off the hour in the show talking with Brandon Henderson, a Fighting Illini offensive lineman who is from the East St. Louis area. But let's start with Barrett Jackman. He was at Busch Stadium earlier this week working with the St. Louis Blues as they unveiled their brand new jersey. And as we opened up our conversation, Jackman obviously happy to be at the ballpark despite the fact that we had some warm days over the last few days.
It's great to be at the ballpark on this hot, hot, you know, I guess June still evening.
A lot different weather if you're a baseball player compared to being a hockey player, right?
Yeah, I enjoy the consistency of about 35 degrees in the rink every night.
That's fair. How much fun is it for you as a former Blue, still being out here, able to represent the organization, do things like this?
No, that's awesome. You know, once you put on that jersey once, you're a Blue for life. And just being around St. Louis, living here with my two kids, and just being in a community. You know, anytime that you're out, it's you know, and you see a couple fans, they recognize you. It's just an awesome feeling, and being at the ballpark is you know, a little pastime of mine too, coaching my son. So you know, it's just it's great to be in the St. Louis community.
So have you grown to be a big Cardinals fan over the years with you being here?
Yeah, huge Cardinal fan. You know, I was here, you know, since 2002, so I've seen some you know, some heartbreak and some triumphs. And you know, I was a baseball player growing up too, so you know, the Cardinals stretch all across North America, and you know, I was a big Ozzie Smith fan growing up too, so it's fun to be around.
You grew up in Canada though, right?
So, I did, British Columbia. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how much baseball is really played out there?
Quite a bit, actually. Jason Bay played for the Pirates for years, played for Boston, the Mets, and Seattle. He same high school, he was a couple years older than me, and he ended up winning the Rookie of the Year and in the MLB for a Canadian kid, and that was a year after I got in the NHL. So two guys from a real small town that kind of made it in their own path.
it's really common for Blues players to get here and stay here. The alumni base in St. Louis for the Blues is incredible. What is it about this community that people like you and so many others make the decision to spend the rest of your lives here?
Well, you know, Bruce Aflack was the president of the Blues alumni. He really got it started and just made it very welcoming for guys to stay in St. Louis. And no matter where you played, and you kind of have fond memories of one spot, and you think you want to settle down. And I think a lot of people had that with just the the community. We have over 50 alumni that are living in St. Louis at the moment, and there's more guys moving back. So it's just tribute to what Bruce and Kelly Chase and all these guys have done to make the alumni really be pillars of the community in St. Louis.
We're talking with former Blue Barrett Jackman. Mentioned the redo of the look for the Blues, and it's been talked about. They kind of looked at some of the Winter Classic jerseys and tried to integrate that. They don't want to go too crazy. The blue note is still obviously part of it. Give me your fashion beliefs on how it looks.
I think it looks sharp. You can't mess with the blue note. It's one of the best logos in sports, and I love the colors. We had an alternate jersey my first year in St. Louis that had the baby blue, and I really think those colors really pop, and I think the fans are really going to love it, and hopefully they're going out and that color is going to be a staple in St. Louis for a long time.
How much does it matter for players to like whether or not they actually like how the uniforms look?
There's some guys that are really all about it, and I was just kind of one of those guys that you give me whatever you want, I'll go out and play as long as I'm playing in the NHL. But some guys are a little bit picky, but they're definitely all the players are going to be on board with this look.
Couple more minutes with Barrett Jackman. As we look back at the Blues season, the way the season ended with that goal being given up right at the end of regulation, speak to me about guys on that team, coaches, everybody. Like, is that something that you live with basically for the rest of your life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no matter what the expectations are at the beginning of the year, how it ends is, what burns you in the offseason. And nobody really, even saw the Blues in the playoffs, but they had a great run. Army and Steiner did a great job of building the team. I think Holloway and Broberg were two great additions. Fowler, the young guys really stepped up. And, I really think that the Blues, kind of jumped ahead a couple years in their development, just being in that playoffs against Winnipeg and losing the way they did. They're going to have that fire to be that much better, especially early on in the season next year.
Yeah, the Cardinals are going through it with a transition, and it would be fantastic if they're able to kind of sneak their way into the playoffs this year. What does that do for a club? The Blues were very much in the same spot. For this group of guys to get that experience of a 7-game playoff series, what does that do for a team moving forward?
Yeah, sometimes the youth and guys on the team just really need an identity, need a role that they really can kind of own and know that they're going to be in the lineup every night and playing and just really flourish and get those get that confidence. So the Cardinals are kind of in that same kind of mindset that the Blues were, and it's paying off with a lot of wins.
You threw out a first pitch, right? Am I correct on that?
I did. Yeah.
How'd it go? I didn't
good.
See it.
I threw a strike.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I had four kids, well, my son and three of his buddies off the 15U team that I coach, and they thought I was going to throw over the backstop. So put it over the plate, and
there you go.
I'm happy with it.
All right. You can talk to that one. Barrett, great to see you. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having me. Really, flourish and get that confidence. So the Cardinals are kind of in that same kind of mindset that the Blues were, and it's paying off with a lot of wins.
You threw out a first pitch, right? Am I correct on that?
I did, yeah.
How'd it go? I didn't
good.
See it.
I threw a strike.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I had four kids, well, my son and three of his buddies off the 15U team that I coach, and they thought I was going to throw over the backstop, so put it over the plate, and
there you go.
I'm happy with it.
All right, you can talk to that one. Barrett, great to see you. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's former Blue Barrett Jackman. Got the chance to talk with him earlier this week at Busch Stadium. He was at the ballpark helping the Blues unveil their new jersey, which I think looks absolutely fantastic. I love the rebrand. It's not a rebrand. I love the
the updating what they're doing. It looks really, really good. Another person who was at the ballpark this week, Kyle Larson. The NASCAR great was doing some testing over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. We'll hear my conversation with him coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. Back in, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Here in this hour, we're playing for you a number of interviews that I recorded earlier in the week at Busch Stadium. We had a number of dignitaries that were at the ballpark watching the Cardinals, and that includes NASCAR great Kyle Larson, who is in search of a Cup Series championship this year. He was over at Worldwide Technology Raceway doing some testing with Goodyear, and he came over to the ballpark. I was able to grab him for a few minutes, and as we opened up our conversation, we talked about just how hot it is, not just at the game and at the ballpark, but also it gets pretty hot in those cars as well.
Cooled down a little bit from the test earlier today, so yeah, nice to be here and get to enjoy a nice baseball game.
Yeah, it's been in the 90s today. How hot does it get in the car when it's already hot? I know it can be a cool day. It's already going to be hot in the car. How much hotter is it on a day like this?
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, a day like today, high humidity, I'd have to ask them what the temperature was in the car. I'm sure they recorded it at some point, but it would probably be up in the 140s, I would say. So really hot, but thankfully we have a cool shirt that's got kind of like some, you know, fluid that runs through some lines that keeps our core temp cool. And then we have a helmet fan that connects our helmet that blows warm air. But at least it's something to circulate some air there. So it could be worse, but it's definitely hot.
When you come in for testing like you did here, what are you looking to accomplish?
So this test here is a Goodyear tire test. So Goodyear produces our tires for our race cars, and we have a race coming up here in September, so they wanted to get a few of our teams here to kind of try some different tire combinations to try and figure out what tire combo would be the best for producing good racing. So myself, Brad Keselowski, and Eric Jones were here today working on some things. So and then once you kind of get through their test plan, you can work on things that you want to work on for your car and trying to get it better.
Worldwide Technology Raceway is still a relatively new course here, on the Cup Series circuit. How much do you enjoy being out here? And the fans give such great support, but the actual racing, talk to me through, what that oval's like for you.
Yeah, it's a tricky oval. It's got really, really long straightaways, and then both ends of the racetrack, both corners are different shapes, really. One in turns one and two is a much tighter radius with a lot more banking, and then turns three and four is a longer corner but flat, so your car doesn't really drive perfectly in either end of the racetrack, but that's fun. I think it's a cool challenge. And then also, like you mentioned, the fans. I think the fans are what make the race there really exciting. The fans throughout the Midwest are really into racing, so I always enjoy coming here to see the crowd packed and see them energetic.
Yeah, I want to talk with you about that a little, because if you're a baseball player, football player, hockey player, like, you're in the same room as everybody. When you're driving, you're in a car, yet they're still watching. How much can fans have an impact on you when you're actually driving?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, the pre-race stuff for sure is when you definitely notice it. Once you're in the car, you're focused quite a bit. But there's definitely been times, too, though, when I've taken the lead or you get a late race caution and you glance up in the stands and you see them going crazy. So, yeah, like I said, the fans here in St. Louis are awesome.
We're talking with Kyle Larson. I don't think people realize the travel, because you generally race on weekends. You were at Pocono this past week in Atlanta coming up, but you do things like this in the middle of the week. So Pocono, St. Louis, Atlanta. I mean, I bet many of your weeks look like this. Sometimes you might go do a dirt track race or something like that. I mean, there's just always stuff going on.
Yeah, my weeks, for me, myself, you're much busier than your standard NASCAR guys. So, between racing and going to different events to promote the sport, testing this week's extra crazy, but I'll race actually in Wheatland, Missouri this Thursday with High Limits, so I don't know if anybody's listening to that. Be sure to come check it out. So I've never raced there before, so it should be fun. But yeah, just lots of racing, lots of travel, but I really enjoy it.
You obviously do. I mean, you're doing this. You try to do the Indy 500, Coca-Cola 600 double. You've tried to do that the last couple of years. Again, talk to me just about your absolute love for what you do, because you wouldn't be doing all this extra stuff if you didn't.
Yeah, no doubt. I definitely wouldn't be as busy as I am racing all the time if I didn't love it. So, but no, I love it. It's the main reason why I race so much, but I also race a lot just because I feel like it helps me. It helps me become a better race car driver, you know, getting myself in more racing situations than my typical competitor, I think is important. And then also doing it in different types of race cars, I think really kind of allows me to always put myself in uncomfortable situations. And I feel like when you do that, you can learn from it. Whether you make good decisions or bad decisions on the racetrack, you always learn from it. So, yeah, I try to stay busy with all that and just always try and become a better race car driver.
We're going to see the start of the in-season challenge coming up this weekend, where it's kind of a bracket style thing. Your matchup in round number one is Tyler Reddick. This is for the fans. It's a really cool thing in the middle of the season. But is this something where you'll know where Tyler is and you know, maybe going forward, you kind of have an idea of where they are? Is it something that plays a role in what you're doing?
It's definitely, I think, something that you pay attention to while you're out there, for sure. So I would have liked an easier matchup than Tyler Reddick. He's really, really good. But we're going to Atlanta this weekend, where kind of it's a crazy race where everybody's got a shot. So I think there will be a lot of upsets throughout the bracket after this weekend. So it's the first year that we've done it, so we'll see how it goes. But I think it's really exciting for the fan. You know, I think a lot of times in the summer months, the season can get kind of stale feeling, like you don't really know what you're out there, you know, racing for. So I think it adds some storylines, and it should be fun. It should be fun for the fan to pay attention to.
NASCAR keeps doing just to Mexico City. We'll do some dirt races sometimes. We'll do street races. It seems like they're always adding different things. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, for sure. I do enjoy that. You know, for a long time, the schedule was kind of the same every year. And, you know, we would go to a lot of tracks multiple times. And, you know, now I feel like the last 5 or 6 years, they've really put an emphasis on, like, how do we attract, you know, new fans to our sport? And we've been able to take, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of it, you know, dirt on Bristol. We went to race at the LA Coliseum. We're racing downtown Chicago. We went to Mexico City. They've revived a few old tracks, you know, going to North Wilkesboro and Bowman Gray. You know, Trucks and Xfinity went back to Rockingham this year. So, you know, even coming to Gateway, things like that. So our schedule is really fun and exciting, and I think everybody, at least I enjoy it, and I think all the fans do too.
And we do want to remind folks, the Enjoy Illinois 300 at Worldwide Technology Raceway, Sunday, September 7th. It's a full weekend of racing over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. You're here. Are you a big baseball fan?
I'm definitely a fan. I wouldn't say I have the time to watch many regular season games, but whenever the postseason rolls around, I'm definitely tuned in. Baseball in October is... there's nothing like it. So, yeah, I enjoy that.
You're in a safe place. What's your team?
Well, so I wouldn't say I necessarily have a favorite team. I grew up in Northern California, so the Giants naturally were my team. I went to a spring training game for the Dodgers earlier this year, and then just went to a game last week, and they've treated me very well. So I would say they're my team currently. Which will piss off a lot of my Northern California friends and fans. So, oh well. But no, they've been really nice to me there.
That's Kyle Larson. You see him racing every Sunday, sometimes in the midweeks. You never know where he might pop up. Kyle, great to talk to you. Great to meet you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
That's NASCAR great Kyle Larson. My conversation with him earlier this week as he was at Busch Stadium. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Fighting Illini offensive lineman Brandon Henderson, an East St. Louis product. He was at the ballpark this week. My conversation with him is next here on KMOX. It's Great War Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. A treat to be joined on the program right now. He is an offensive lineman with the Fighting Illini football team. He is Brandon Henderson, an East St. Louis product, joining us right now. Brandon, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing all right. It's great to see you. Fighting Illini coming off a fantastic season last season, and I know before you know it, you guys are going to be out practicing once again. What's the excitement level going into this upcoming year?
We just really trying not to focus on last year. We've been just trying to build off of that. So, like, going into the offseason, each week we have different goals we're trying to reach, and you know, just pushing the guys and trying to be a better team and compete against each other every day.
Is that tough to, like, think of? That was an awesome year last year. Is it tough to just put that in the rearview mirror and be solely focused on what's next?
Yeah, it definitely is, you know, but, you know, we always got to look forward to the future. So we know we got another season coming up, and can't reflect off last year because that, you know, could be bad for us as a team.
Mentioned that you're an East St. Louis guy. Now, did you come to a lot of Cardinals games growing up?
No, I grew up playing baseball for a little bit, but like I never got into the actual sport. I started playing basketball, but I have my last year was my first time going to a Cardinals game.
Is it pretty cool for you being able to be a local guy and come back to St. Louis and be here at the ballpark and representing your college football program? I mean, this just has to be a really cool thing for you right now.
Yeah, no doubt. It feels good to come back and represent the Alumni family and come back to see some family and friends. You know, my mom's here, my brother, sister, aunties, cousins, they all came out to watch me and support. So it does feel great to be back home and get this experience.
I went to college at Kansas State, and when I was there, Coach Bielma was an assistant coach at K-State, and he was only there for 1 year that I was there, but I loved watching him as a coach, and it's been fun watching him throughout his career. What's it like as a player playing for him?
This is a great feeling. Coach B is a great person. He's a player. He's a person, like person guy. He's going to treat you as a human, not just your player. So he connects you with you on a different level, you know, tries to get to know you and tries to understand you on a deeper level. So I feel like Coach B is a great coach.
I know you said you're trying to focus towards next season, but I got to ask you something. You had one of the coolest moments of the year this past year when you caught the game-tying touchdown pass in the Nebraska game, which was an epic game. Talk to me through that play. I'm sure you get asked about it all the time. I mean, that's a really cool memory that you're going to have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no doubt. So that was actually my first career touchdown ever. That was my first time ever having a touchdown in game. You know, we installed to play that week, and I was like, no doubt we're going to call it. But, you know, the situation came, and they trusted me, and they gave me the play, and it was a great feeling.
So even high school, like final game of the season, they didn't let the linemen take a – was Coach Sunkett your coach?
Yes, sir.
See, I went to high school at Ladue, and he was an assistant when I was at Ladue. He was actually my middle school gym teacher back in the day, Coach Sunkett was. But yeah, he should have given you a carry at some point in time.
He definitely should have gave me opportunity.
I'm calling Darren Sunkett out right here. On the radio, what in the world are you doing not letting your big man get at least one carry at some point in the season?
Yes, sir.
So take me through the rest of this summer for you guys, because I know, you know, what, you're a little bit more than a month away from practice getting started. Are you in Champaign most of the time? What does this period look like for you?
Yeah, so we just came off our month break in May. We got back and got straight to work. So we've been working for about 4 weeks now in our summer workout, summer program. So right now we have our last 4 weeks, and then we go into fall camp.
I'm looking at the schedule right now. You guys are going to open up against Western Illinois. That's going to be on August 29th. That's going to be a Friday night game. What do you prefer, night games or day games?
Yeah, night games.
Night games? Sure. All right, Friday 29th. So folks get all the information, fightingillini.com. Get your tickets. Fantastic season last year. High expectations for the Fighting Illini again coming up this year. Great to get to know you a little bit, Brandon. Thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the night here at the ballpark, and hopefully we can catch up again.
All right, thanks for having me.
That was Brandon Henderson, a Fighting Illini offensive lineman from East St. Louis High School. Great to be able to talk with him. We recorded that conversation at Busch Stadium earlier in the week. And that's just about going to do it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Do want to remind you about what's on deck. It is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Cardinals are set to hit the road now after having an extended homestand. They'll be in Cleveland tomorrow night to match up against the Guardians. Sonny Gray will go for the Cardinals. He is 7-2. 6:10 first pitch tomorrow. That means our coverage begins at 5:15. Thanks so much to, man, we had so many guests on the show today. What a fun show that we had. It started with Tony La Russa in the first hour. We also talked some soccer with Warren Barton, Bear Jackman, Kyle Larson, Brandon Henderson all this hour. What a show. We appreciate you being there with, and Wayne Randazzo talked Cardinals baseball. He'll be on the call tomorrow on Apple TV. Can't forget about him. So thanks so much for being tuned in. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on KMOX.